have a little musical background during your shiurim. It's good. I don't know, we'll see if it comes through on the recording or not. I noticed when at the Chag HaSmicha, when the president spoke, President Berman, when he spoke, at the end of his speech, I guess his office had planned it. They played dramatic music as he was coming to his crescendo. I'm like, I gotta get that. That makes everything sound so much better. okay, so maybe this year will sound more cheerful than it really is because we have cheerful music in the background. Today we have somewhat of a depressing topic, but I don't choose the shilas that come in. I just, you know, try to deal with them. So this shilah came from a rav from a very small out-of-town community. And he said as follows. A close Talmud of his, he says, has a father who is very sick and is dying. Okay? The father is what he describes as a classic Ashkenazi Chiloni Israeli. Ashkenazi Chiloni is different than a Sephardi Chiloni, right? Because a Sephardi Chiloni typically, meaning when there was that major demand for tzitzis in the army or whatever, it was driven by Sephardim, mostly. Like, there's much more of a natia toward traditional, respect for tradition, and things like that. But this guy is a classic Chiloni Ashkenazi Israeli who lived his entire life in the United States. He's very smart, he's very wealthy, has no religion in his life, no observance in his life, and absolutely no respect for Torah values. That's the Metzius. That's who this fellow is, who is dying now. He's completely with his seichel at this point. He's thinking 100% clearly as clearly as he ever did. And he lives in California. Now, the law in California is that if you're going to die, if you have a terminal illness, and when you meet certain criteria, you can ask your doctor for a prescription, and he can prescribe you a certain drink that you take before bed at night, and you wake up dead in the morning, right? That's the, you don't actually wake up, right? But, right, so the next morning, you're dead. And the idea is that that's what they call physician-assisted suicide, or mercy killing, or, you know, something like that. Depending how you want to brand it, you know, in terms of whether you like it or not. But that's the, so this father says, I'm definitely doing that. I'm going out on my own terms, right? I'm not going out on the terms of Mother Nature or the universe or whatever. I'm going out on my own terms, right? He doesn't believe in God, so it wouldn't be on God, right? So anyway, that's, and he said, and after I die, I want to be cremated, right? Why waste space, you know, unnecessarily? Just cremate my remains. There's nothing, there's no tchis amesim anyway, and there's no, right, mamish, abikoris, in every full, you know, the absolute fullest sense of the word. So what's the shaila? So far it's just like a really sad story, you know, but what's the shaila? Any shaila here? Okay, so for sure, if you could try to stop him, you know, if you could, you should try to stop him if you can. Let's assume that's not in the cards. What?
What do you do with the remains?
What do you do with the remains is also a good shaila. Do you bury the remains in a Jewish cemetery? In general, when someone's cremated, do they get buried in a Jewish cemetery? Can you bury the remains in a Jewish cemetery? There are some posts that said you dafka shouldn't, because it's going to encourage people. It'll make people feel like, oh, I can get cremated and it's no big deal. Right, so we dafka should take a stand that if you get cremated, you do not get to be buried in Jewish cemetery. Okay, different shitos about that. Right, certainly, you know, not every. The idea that you can't have tchias amesim if you're cremated is an unacceptable idea. Why do I say that's an unacceptable idea? That there's no tchias amesim for cremated remains. Right, there were like 6 million that, you know, so like you can't say that there's no tchias amesim. That would be like insane. It would be very, very difficult to say something like that. Maybe someone who's willfully cremated, okay, maybe that's a different story.
Is that enough to say that because the Holocaust happened, then
it's not acceptable?
It's just not possible. It's not, uh-huh. I mean, what's the whole argument? The whole argument is like, the argument comes in one of two ways. Either the argument comes that someone who would do something so terrible to themselves, okay, so that wouldn't apply to Holocaust victims. Or the argument would be, what's going to come back to life? There's nothing left.
Yeah.
But that's also, that's a silly argument, because what's left of, you know, God's going to figure it out, you know. If it's chias amesim, it's not something that just, like, you know, makes natural sense in any other context. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to figure it out, right? Okay, so, but the fellow child is not about that either. What he wants to know is, when dad ultimately drinks this milkshake and, you know, and doesn't wake up the next morning, and he gets cremated, do I sit Shiva? So why no? What do you mean? Father dies, he's a tshuva. What?
It's technically murder.
It's a very interesting thing you're saying. You're saying that suicide is murder, and if the guy's a murderer, you don't say tshuva for him. So, is that what you're saying? That's a possible answer. So, okay. So, technically, strictly halachically speaking, for suicide, you don't say tshuva. Practically, you always say tshuva, right? So, what's the deal? Like, how does it... Like, the halacha is, you don't sit shiva. Lemaisa, of course you sit shiva. So, normally, we follow the halacha. How do we get from that to that? The Rush in the third paragraph of my Katan quotes from Evel Rabasi, from Chazal, that we're not misabel for someone who's ma'avid atzmo ladas. That the terminology for suicide is ma'abed atzmo. He destroys himself ladas, willfully. He willfully kills himself. So we do not sit shiva for such a person. So it happens to be in most cases we do. Why do we sit shiva for such a person in most cases? Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva that when there's a kavod mishpacha nechpedes, asher yeh lehem levozu lechlima olamis, that it's going to be this eternal humiliation for this family, she'echad mehem kilkel ma'asov, that one of them did such a thing, we have to allow them to sit shiva to save face. Because he says, what's going to happen? Im yatir lemamor lisabel, if they get a psak that they could sit shiva, what's everyone going to say? As yom rabrios kamu beraban bemelsim nisbar shaloyel din ma'abid atzmo. Everyone's going to say, oh, probably it wasn't really a suicide. The rabbis must have investigated and they discovered that it didn't have a din of a suicide. Right? That's one reason why we would sit shiva in most cases.
What if we specifically or publicly announce this shiva is meant for the family's comfort?
Well, that would defeat the whole purpose. Meaning, according to Chassam Sofer, the whole purpose of the shiva is to so the family can maintain their dignity, that it's embarrassing to have someone... You know, I know somebody whose last name is not really their last name. Why is their last name not really their last name? It's not the same last name that the father had or that the grandfather had. They changed it. Why did they change it? Because grandfather was a pedophile. Right? So they don't want to go around with that name. So it's embarrassing to be associated with certain avaryanim. Right, it's for the family. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. It's for the sake of the family, not for the sake of the niftar.
So not probably enough. Between the
right
and the family, it's for the family?
Yeah, that's what the Chassam Sofer says.
Out of you did this yourself, we can't show support to you killing yourself and not say Kaddish. Would you say Kaddish for someone who did?
There's an argument to be made that more reason to say Kaddish. Right? Kaddish is to provide the neshama with something that the neshama otherwise doesn't have. You know, the halacha is that we say Kaddish for 11 months, not for the full 12 months, because Mishpat Rishayim B'Gehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh. We assume Rishayim are in Gehenim for 12 months. So what if the father was Takar Rasha? Right? What about that pedophile, right? So they say they probably have to say Kaddish for 12 months, such a person. Rav Shachter told us when his parents died, he wasn't so crazy about making every single minyan. If he flew to Eretz Yisrael and he missed a minyan, he was fine. He said, because my parents were tzaddikim, they don't need my Kaddish. Like, it reminded me when we I was on a trip with my shul to Israel, and we went to visit Hadass Lowenstern, whose husband Elisha was killed in Gaza, and we asked her, what can we do l'aliyas nishmaso? So she said, l'aliyas nishmaso? His neshama doesn't need an aliyah. His neshama is next to the Kisei HaKol. Your neshama is needing an aliyah. Figure out what to do for your neshama. Don't figure out what to do. And when we asked Jen Early, who was here in Kaylee with us this summer, the same question, she said the same thing. Binyamin's neshama doesn't need an aliyah. He's fine. Your neshama needs an aliyah. I mean, they had a slightly different nusach of the way they said it. But and it must be, Rabbi Rosner said the same thing at the Levaya for Elimo. Symbolist, that his neshama doesn't need an aliyah. We need the aliyah. We need the aliyah. So, but for a kaddish to provide an aliyah, so something, there's a good reason to argue that you need 12 months of kaddish for someone who's a rasha. The other argument as to why you would sit shiva for someone who's ma'avid atzmo ladas, someone who commits suicide, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, klolo shel davar, but ma'avid atzmo ladas, talinon b'kaleza t'liya kolshu. We look for any possible reason to argue that he didn't really commit suicide. Kigon, Litos Biyira, or Bitsar, or Shiyatsumidaito. We have to assume that maybe he was just terrified, or he was in terrible anguish, or he went out of his mind, he suffered severe mental illness. Or he thought it was a mitzvah, because if he doesn't do it, he's going to end up doing much, much worse averos. You have to assume something like that happened. And the Aruch HaShulchan says it has to be, because davar rachok sha'adam yasa nevala kazu b'das tzalula. It's almost impossible to imagine that a person would do something like this with a clear mind. So obviously you have to assume that he didn't have a clear mind, and therefore it's not l'das. Ma'avid atzmo l'das, you don't sit shiva for. So where do you ever have a case where you don't have that, right? Our case! That's this case. The guy is with his clearest seichel he's ever had. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's going to stick one to God, and he's going to say, there is no God. I don't die on God's terms. I die on my terms. Right? It's this case. So now, if you don't have... And you don't have the story of the Chassam Sofer in this case, because this guy lives in a far-flung community. No one ever met his father. No one's going to know that his father died. It's not going to be a bizayon to him. It's not like the father belonged to this close-knit from community. So it's not going to be the Chassam Sofer's reason. You don't have the Aruch HaShulchan's reason, because the guy has daito tzlula. He has a clear mind and everything. So is there any reason to be misabel for the father, to sit shiva for the father? Well, what do you say? So,
maybe he was Tinuk Shemishba his entire life, and therefore because he wasn't
taught properly. So if he wasn't taught properly, it would be a good reason to argue that he's not an apikores, and that he's not a mumar, and that he would count toward a minion. But ma'abir atzma l'das is ma'abir atzma l'das, meaning he's doing it with a clear mind. So it would seem that meaning that's a good svara in most halachos, but l'chora not in this one. So let's take a step back. Is it, and I'm going to say something crazy right now, is it so pashut that it's usher for him to kill himself? Because he's already going to die anyway. Meaning, let's say it this way. Is there anyone in history, maybe in Tanakh, that killed themselves and we still view them as a tzaddik? Shaul HaMelech? Is that the only one? How did Shimshon die? Right, he knocked down the whole cathedral, whatever you call it, right, on himself and on a bunch of Plishtim also, right. So, in fact, there's a wonderful Talmud Chacham. So we'll discuss. So there's a wonderful Talmud Chacham in Manhattan, Rabbi Alan Schwartz, who teaches Tanakh in YU. I think he told us when he was training DRS Rebbeim how to teach Nach in high school. He told us, I think, that his master's thesis, when he got his master's degree, was on suicide in Nach. And you have it not only in Nach, you have it in Shas also. One of the famous Churban Agadot of the Gemara that you learn on Tisha B'Av, there was a boat full of young men and young women. You know this story? They jumped off because they knew that they were being taken to do Averos and this and that. So the question becomes, like, what is a good enough reason to be Ma'avir Atzma L'das? Like, why is it okay that Shaul did that? So, it happens to be the story of Shaul is not so clear, because the story is told twice. It's told as it happened at the end of Shmuel Aleph, and then at the beginning of Shmuel Beis, you have this Nara Maleki reporting the story of Shaul's death to David. Right? This Nara Maleki comes and tells David, I got Shaul's crown and his armbands and whatever it was. Right? And David said, well, what happened? He said, well, Shaul asked me to kill him, and I did. So, Nara Maleki is saying, I killed Shaul. Now, it could be, I think Rabbi Schwartz suggested, if some of the Farshim must say this, that Nara Maleki probably was lying because he thought David would be super happy with him, right? He'd reward him handsomely. Why would he reward someone who killed his father-in-law? Because his father-in-law was trying to kill him for the last 2 years. So he probably figured he'd be really happy. Turned out it didn't work out so well for the Nara Maleki, because David decided to take a very hard stance against killing kings, which is a wise thing to do, considering who the next king was going to be, right? That it's not going to be a thing that you could just go kill kings in our country, right? So it turned out not to be so wise with Nara Maleki. But the Pasha Pshat is, at the end of Shmuel Aleph, Shaul jumped on the sword. And even if he didn't, he at least asked the Nara Maleki to kill him, right? So in every version of the story, he engineered his own death. Right? So why? And the Shulchan Aruch says, look, we don't sit shiva for someone who's mavid atzmo l'das, but someone like Shaul HaMelech, someone who's anus k'Shaul HaMelech, that you would sit shiva for. So apparently he did nothing wrong. Why did he do nothing wrong? What made it okay in that case? So there are several possibilities. One possibility is that he knew he was going to die soon. How did he know he was going to die soon? So you got to read the whole book, right? He was nervous about what's going to be with this war with the Plishtim. So he went to some lady who knows how to talk to spirits, and he said, "I need you to pull up the spirit of
Shmuel."
There you go, Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi says, "Lo meir gastani. Well, why did you guys wake me up?" You know, like I always picture like that scene from Aladdin where the genie comes out of the bottle. You know, like okay, but Lahavdil, you know, he's like, you know, who rubbed my lamp? You know, you're bothering me. I'll see you tomorrow. You know, like you'll be here tomorrow. It's like there was like an old joke about that, about the guy who was talking to his dead friend, and he said, "Is there baseball in heaven?" You know, he wanted to know if there's so whoever dies first will come back to the other one in a dream and say whether there's baseball. So he says, "I got good news and bad news. The good news is there is baseball in heaven. The bad news is you're pitching tomorrow, right?" So Shmuel tells Shaul, "You're pitching tomorrow." You know, so Shaul knew that he was going to die anyway. So if he knew he was going to die anyway, maybe that's the heter. Now, if that's the heter, maybe in this case, right? In California, the law is that you can get physician assisted suicide, but not just stam because you had a bad day, you know, or the Dodgers lost, right? Meaning you get physician assisted suicide if you're terminally ill, so you're going to die anyway. If that was all said, there might apply over here. Yeah.
Why is it then when someone's on the death penalty during a CS and shot, you're not allowed to touch them because it causes them to go faster?
Yeah, you're not allowed to kill them.
It'd be considered murder.
Right? You're not allowed to kill them.
This is the same thing. Like you're already going to die. There shouldn't be a heter for like making it go faster. Cause
if the person wants to, because they know they're going to die and right now they're suffering, you have to have the suffering element, and they'd rather be dead sooner, so maybe it would be mutter. Now, you're not allowed to touch a goseis because you assume that that's going to be makariv misaso and that will be murder. The Gemara gives the mushel of like a flickering flame where you just put a finger on it and it, the last spark goes out. So that's the neshama. The neshama is a flickering flame when a person is a ghost. The other possibility is it's just purely the suffering. That if Shaul would have been captured by the Plishtim, you know, when the Plishtim take people into captivity, they are not particularly kind to them. They take a king into captivity. Can you imagine what they would do to him? So that would be, can you imagine if Hamas, would capture like Bibi? Can you imagine what they would do to him? Right, if you take someone that represents so much, so maybe that's it. It was about that the suffering is worse is a fate that is worse than death, and maybe that was his heter. Or it could be that he was afraid that he was going to be forced to do very terrible averos, and maybe that was his heter. Bottom line is, we're not exactly sure what his heter was. Shimshon, the heter was a little more clear, because Shimshon was an act of war. Right, he was able to bring down hundreds of plishtim together with him. Right, so if let's say you have a chayal who goes on an extremely dangerous mission where he's pretty sure he's not coming back from it, but it will put an end to the enemy or to major amounts or whatever. So he's allowed to do that. In fact, even if it's going to save lives of in the 2006 Lebanon war, some chayalim had asked for Shechter. They were told they were given cyanide pills to take if they're ever captured. And they had access to intelligence that could really be harmful to Israel, and they were going to be tortured until they gave up all that information. So they asked if they could take the cyanide and end their lives. Shechter said that they can. That in that case, it was mutter for them to do that. So there are cases, very very rare cases, that maybe it would be mutter. Now, would you ever paskin for someone who's sick in a hospital and is dying? Most of the cases, because there's an enemy, meaning when the Rishonim talk about this and they give these heterim, it's heterim, I don't know what you even call it. They give these permission for suicide. It's always a case where it's an enemy that's torturing, it's an enemy that's you never really find it with someone who's just sick, dying a natural death, of cancer or whatever, of what people die from. You never really find that. But people do suffer from tremendous pain, depending on the type of illness that they have. So is it such a leap? Is it possible that suffering that kind of pain would be a valid heter? At least enough to say that we should bury them in a Jewish cemetery and sit shiva for them. not enough to say that you would tell them to do it, but at least enough to say that you should say shiva for them. So there's a tshuva in the Besamim Rosh. Who is the Besamim Rosh? So the Besamim Rosh is a famous forgery. I think it was in the 1700s, someone claimed to have found tshuvas that were written by none other than Rabbeinu Asher, the Rosh himself, and he published them, and he called them Besamim Rosh. It was later discovered that the fellow had written his own tshuvas, and he wanted people to buy them. So he claimed that they were from the Rosh. He was a big Talmud Chacham. Many of the tshuvas were very, very good. And they're quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva, and they're quoted by Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and they're quoted, you know, even Rav Avadia, who was well aware of the fact that it was a forgery, still quoted them, right? The Chassam Sofer was one of the earliest people to recognize that it was a forgery. The Chassam Sofer used to refer to it, you know how you'd refer to someone's writings as the Kisvei Ha, whatever. So he used to refer to it as the Kisvei HaRash, with a Zayin instead of a Taf, like Sheker V'Chazav, like whatever. So the Besam Rosh has a tshuva where he says that if a person is suffering terribly, he can kill himself. There are achronim that quote it, meaning if you actually look in the standard edition of the Besam Rosh, that tshuva was taken out. People thought that the scandal of the whole sefer existing was not enough of a scandal to stop printing it, but that tshuva was too scandalous. Like they had to take it out. But there are achronim that quote it. Now, at least the fact that there are such achronim that quote it, would that be enough to bury him in Jewish cemetery? Maybe. So Rav Shechter had the following cheshbon, which again is really wild, really wild. There is a machlokas. The isser of suicide, is that an isser of murder? That's why when you said it, I was like, is that an isser of murder or is it some other isser? So achas timchan nafshaseichan is the pasuk that suicide is derived from. Minchas Chinuch says it's not murder; it's a separate isser. L'may nafkamina whether something is an isser of murder or it's a separate isser. What difference does it make whether it's murder or something else? So there may be a number of nafkaminas l'dina. One nafkamina might be whether B'nai Noach are included. B'nai Noach are not allowed to commit murder, but maybe they're allowed to commit this is or whatever it is, right? So maybe they're allowed to do suicide. Nafkamina might be whether, let's say you commit suicide by jumping out of a window and you smash a car window, you smash a windshield. Are you chayiv to pay? So if you commit murder and cost somebody money at the same time you put on the money. Come lebidrab mine. But if it's achas timchum nafshaseichem, the chiv is misa b'dei shemayim. For misa b'dei shemayim, we don't say come lebidrab mine. So mainly you're going to be chayiv to pay. Right? That might be a nafkamina. Nafkamina might be, is it, and this is a funny nafkamina, is it yaharik val yavar? Do you have to die rather than commit suicide? What does that mean? You're going to die anyway. So here's where it comes up. So it says Rav Shechter, it's kind of brilliant. Says Rav Shechter as follows. I hold, like the Minchas Chinuch, it's not murder, right? And therefore, it's not Yaharig Val Yavar, it's Ya'avar Va'al Yehareg. Meaning, like every other Isser in the Torah besides for the big three, you violate rather than get killed, right? Ya'avar Va'al Yehareg. That's data point one. 1 second. Data point two. The Tosas Maseches Ksuba says that if Hananiah, Mishael, V'Azariah would not have been offered to be thrown into a Kifshan Eish, but rather would have been tortured, they would not have withstood the Nisayon. Because torture is worse than death. Torture is worse than death. Point three. If torture is worse than death, anything that you don't have to die for, you also don't have to be tortured for. Following so far? If torture is worse than death, anything you don't have to die for, you also don't have to be tortured for. Now, if committing suicide is like Shara Averos, it's Ya'avar Val Yareg, do the Avera rather than getting killed, you would also do that Avera rather than getting tortured. And therefore, if you're going to suffer torture or commit suicide, you're allowed to commit suicide rather than suffering torture. You do the math, it works out, right? So it turns out that if a person is suffering terribly, the Besam Rosh is right, and he's allowed to commit suicide rather than suffering terribly. Now, one could argue, no. You're allowed to commit suicide rather than suffering torture. Torture means at the hands of other people. But if it's just something that you're going through an illness and it's painful, we never heard of anything like that. The Rishonim don't say anything like that. Beis Yosef at least doesn't quote any Rishonim that say anything like that. So Rav Shechter thought, yeah, but why should there be a difference? And there are Rishonim that do say, Beis Yosef just doesn't quote them. So I would never paskin that a person could do this. But if a person did this, you know, to at least say that they could be buried in a Jewish cemetery, to at least say that you could sit shiva for them, you know, maybe you can. The thing that's really funny about Rav Shechter's Mahalich, and he prints it in two places, in the Ikve Atzon, in his piece about brain death, and in Ginas Egos, the Sefer Ginas Egos, in the footnote, the thing that's funny about it is, what is the pasuk in the Torah that tells me that I'm not allowed to, that I'm allowed to violate almost any aver except for the big three, and not get killed? Where does the Torah tell me that better to violate the aver than to get killed? It's two words. What? V'chaybe. So according to Rav Shechter, what's the heter for this guy to commit suicide? V'chaybehem. Right? It comes out that v'chaybehem is the basis for committing suicide. But v'chaybehem is the opposite of committing suicide. Right? So it comes out a little bit, meaning once you replace getting killed with getting tortured, and you replace murder with suicide, which is Shara Veros, so it turns out that V'chaybehem tells you to commit suicide.
If the basis for V'chaybehem, why you'd be able to Yabra for the Aliyari, is in order to live as they do more mitzvahs, that it doesn't work in suicide.
That's what I'm saying, right? It's a good kasha. So I asked Roshat this kasha, and he wasn't moved by that argument. He said, the cheshbon works, like he didn't. That's the nature of the mechayev. That's the nature of the mitzvah. He wasn't moved by the argument. I thought the stronger argument was that it was a good, decent argument. I happened to ask him about this case, about the case that this rabbi asked about, and he said he's not bikoros, but he's sit shiva if the only sit shiva of the family feels that they need the comfort of it, but otherwise Taka would not be obligated to sit shiva for the person. I was once with Rav Asher Weiss in Hara Menuchos, and we passed by a certain kever, and he said, I need a minute. And he stopped and said to Hillel, by a particular kever, of some random person. Now, we also stopped by his wife's kever, and he asked us also to him. So he told us after he stopped by the kever, he said, this was a very special young man who suffered from severe mental illness, severe depression. And he was suicidal for years and years. His entire life was torture. I was very, very close with him and very, very close with his family. And when he died, I paskin that he's allowed to get a regular Jewish burial, and that, and he described to us about how this person's death went down, and like he knew what he was doing. It was a very difficult psak, because most of the time, the way the Shulchan Aruch says is that you only don't sit shiva for a person if a person tells you the plan in advance. I'm going to go to Rosh Chag and I'm going to do this, I'm going to jump, and I'm going to, and then they do it. So, but if that didn't happen, you just found him dead, so then you can assume that it was an accident or whatever. But over here, the guy had planned it all out, and Rav Asher was still paskin that he should be buried in Jewish cemetery because of probably Yerucha Shulchan's cheshbon. And he said he was a very special person whose life was really, really difficult. It's not something that we make light of, but this particular case is like the one case where you probably actually don't sit shiva, in the particular case that they were asked about. Okay.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.